Welcome to the HSD podcast series. I'm your host today, Laura Franco, Vice President, Director of Post-Acute Regulatory Strategy. Today, I'm joined by Jennifer Lamb, RN, MBA, and Mock Surveyor for Life Care Services. Today, we're going to be talking about the new FTAG numbering system and the regulations contained in each of the new FTAGs. Our goal is to help our listeners understand the new FTAGs that are now fully in place and state surveyors are surveying on them. So today we're going to be talking about FTAG 604, Right to be Free from Physical Restraints. So welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you, Laura. I'm glad to be here and ready to share some more information about the new FTAGs and in particular F604 today.
Wonderful, wonderful. Before we jump into that, please recap for our listeners what they can expect from this series of podcasts.
Absolutely. We will be covering one FTAG per podcast contained under the 49 tags identified as substandard quality of care. Substandard quality of care is defined by CMS as having more than one deficiency related to participation requirements under resident behavior and facility practices, quality of life, and quality of care that constitute either immediate jeopardy to resident health and safety, a pattern of or widespread actual harm that is not immediate jeopardy, or a widespread potential for more than minimal harm, but less than immediate jeopardy with no actual harm. We'll be using the State Operations Manual, or SOM, Appendix PP, that's the guidance to surveyors for long-term care facilities that became effective on November 28, 2017. So this is the most recent version, and it's the exact same SOM that the surveyors are using, and it's our best tool to learn as much as the surveyor and be prepared for the state survey.
So F604 talks about physical restraints. In the past, physical restraints were covered under two separate tags, and those were F221 and F222. F221 encompassed respect and dignity, as well as the resident's right to be free from abuse, neglect, and exploitation. The addition of the physical and chemical restraints was new language added before the new SOM. F222 took it further by defining chemical and physical restraints. F604 takes the language of F221 and F222 as it pertains to physical restraints and breaks it out even further. So, Jennifer, why don't you go ahead and define FTAG 604 for us?
Yeah, absolutely. F604 in the SOM says, the resident has the right to be treated with respect and dignity, including the right to be free from any physical or chemical restraints imposed for purposes of discipline or convenience and not required to treat the resident's medical symptoms. The resident has the right to be free from abuse, neglect, misappropriation of resident property, and exploitation as defined in this subpart. This includes but is not limited to freedom from corporal punishment, involuntary seclusion, and any physical or chemical restraint not required to treat the resident's medical symptoms. The facility must ensure that the resident is free from physical or chemical restraints imposed for purposes of discipline or convenience and that are not required to treat the resident's symptoms. When the use of restraints is indicated, the facility must use the least restrictive alternative for the least amount of time and document ongoing reevaluation of the need for those restraints.
To explain this further, the intent of this tag is for each resident to attain and maintain his or her highest practicable well-being in an environment that prohibits the use of physical restraints for any specific discipline or convenience. It prohibits the use of physical restraints to unnecessarily inhibit a resident's freedom of movement or their activity. And it limits physical restraint use to circumstances in which the resident has medical symptoms that may warrant the use of restraints. So when a facility uses physical restraints, they must use the least restrictive restraint for the least amount of time and provide an ongoing reevaluation for the need of that physical restraint.
Exactly. And physical restraint is defined as any manual method, physical or mechanical device, equipment, or material that meets the following criteria: that it is attached to or is adjacent to the resident's body, it cannot be easily removed by the resident, and restricts the resident's freedom of movement or normal access to his or her body.
Now, just to be clear, removes easily means the resident is able to remove whatever may be restricting movement intentionally in the same manner as if it was applied to the staff.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. So why don't you tell us some of the ways that our communities may have risk in terms of a citation for FTAG 604, whether they realize it or not?
Well, when people hear the words physical restraint, most of the time there are images of residents being tied to chairs or beds. And while that may be the case in some forms, I suppose, there are other physical restraints that some may not be aware of. And some of those include maybe using bed rails to keep a resident from voluntarily getting out of the bed, placing a chair or bed close enough to the wall that the resident is prevented from rising out of the chair or voluntarily getting out of bed, placing a resident on a concave mattress so that the resident can't get up independently, tucking in sheets tightly around the resident so that they cannot get up, or fastening fabric or clothing so that the resident's freedom of movement is restricted, and also placing a resident in a chair such as a beanbag or a recliner where it makes it harder for them to get up, that's considered a restraint.
So, Jennifer, as I understand, the forms of physical restraints can be several. Number one, using devices like trays, tables, cushions, bars, or belts that are used in conjunction with chairs that the resident cannot easily remove to prevent the resident from getting up out of wherever they're sitting. Number two, applying leg or arm restraints, hand mitts, ties, or vests that the residents can't remove themselves. Three, physically holding down a resident to prevent movement in response to behaviors or in trying to provide care to a resident who's resistive. Four, placing residents in enclosed wheeled walkers that they cannot exit from. And also five, using positioning changing alarms to monitor a resident's specific movements.
Yes, these are absolutely other forms of physical restraints that, you know, people just don't think of sometimes as being restraints. And Laura, that last point is the one that I have encountered in the past. That's where facilities use bed and chair alarms in the quest to prevent falls. Now, while the intent is one of protecting the resident and not really punitive in nature, one of the points I try to make regarding this practice is that alarms do not prevent falls. It's no different than a smoke alarm over the stove telling you that you've burned up your cookies. The cookies are burnt. Regardless, the alarm just simply told you that it happened. And so alarms for beds and chairs do not prevent falls. It just simply tells you that it's already in the process or has already happened. So again, alarms don't stop falls. However, alarms do cause residents to stop moving. They're afraid of them. The alarm startles them, or when the alarm goes off, staff comes into the room. And usually if a staff's coming into a room with an alarm, they're also kind of coming in and telling the resident that they're not supposed to be moving or getting up. And while the words may not sound harsh, the staff has just scolded a grown adult from freely moving their own body. So when a resident doesn't feel that they can move freely or they sit and lay for long periods, things can happen. You know, their circulation's impeded, skin breakdown occurs, depression can happen. So whether or not anyone intends it, alarms are physical restraints with devastating effects.
That's really, really important information, Jennifer. I can't stress that any further. It really is. So thank you for sharing that. In reading in the Psalm, I've noted some impacts on the use of physical restraints. Some of those include a decline in physical functioning and increase in dependence in ADLs. Respiratory complications, skin breakdown, as you mentioned, incontinence or constipation, injury from trying to get free from restraints, and even accidents such as falls, strangulation, or entrapment.
Yes, and Laura, I know that in the future we'll be talking about bed rails, and you bring up some great points and education for the listeners about how those can cause sentinel events, because residents do try to get around or over them and they get trapped. And so bed rails are not a good idea either.
That's absolutely true, Jennifer, because, you know, it can be highly upsetting to see what can happen if the intent was innocent and even trying to protect the residents. We all know that restraints can cause psychosocial harm to the resident. And so, Jen, can you just name a couple of those for us?
Sure. Some of the psychosocial impacts related to restraints, and you can find these in the SOM, by the way, include agitation, aggression, anxiety, social withdrawal, depression, feelings of shame, loss of dignity, panic, fear, feelings of being imprisoned or trapped. You know, I often see where residents exhibit behaviors of agitation or anxiety. And one of the first things I look into, especially when I'm doing a record review for somebody who may be getting some medications for those issues, is does this resident have alarms or bed rails that may be interpreted by them as restriction of movement? And if I'm looking at that, I guarantee surveyors are also looking at that.
If a resident requires restraints of any kind, there must be an order from the physician with the appropriate rationale. However, as I understand it, the practitioner's order alone is not sufficient enough to warrant the restraint. The facility is fully responsible for the process of using that restraint.
Absolutely. I can't say it enough. Document, document, document. If you have anyone that has a restraint in your health center, you need to evaluate, care plan that that particular device, reevaluate, make sure that you have absolutely made sure that that restraint is necessary and appropriate.
Well, and I also want to make sure that our listeners are aware that the SOM also notes that falls do not constitute a physical restraint rationale. So just because someone is falling does not mean that you can immediately apply a physical restraint. They are not to be used for fall prevention, and there is no evidence to support the idea that physical restraints actually prevent falls.
Right. And there is a list of many more instances in the SOM that the listeners can go to and help guide them to identify ways that physical restraints might be considered by the surveyors. The SOM outlines for the surveyors how to determine if a bed rail or alarm or any other device is being used as a physical restraint. You can read through those, and this will guide you to understand what the surveyors will be looking for and how they will interpret your use of the device. The key elements of determining noncompliance of F604 can include any one of the following. If the facility failed to make sure that the resident was free from physical restraints imposed for discipline or staff convenience. If the facility failed to identify the medical symptom being treated when using a device, or a facility practice that meets the definition of physical restraint. If the facility failed to define and implement interventions according to standards of practice during the use of physical restraints that is used for the treatment of a medical symptom. If the facility failed to use the least restrictive restraint for the least amount of time possible. If the facility failed to provide ongoing monitoring and evaluation for the continued use of a physical restraint for a medical symptom, and if the facility failed to develop or implement interventions for reducing or eventually discontinuing the use of the restraint when it's no longer required to treat that medical symptom. So if the surveyors find any one of these, the health center will be cited F604.
Jennifer, I want to thank you for outlining all of this. This is really, really important information under FTAG 604. I would also like to thank our listeners for joining us today and with our continuing series of podcasts outlining the new FTAGs and the regulations for the final rule. I hope our listeners found today's discussion to be beneficial and will join us as we explore all 49 substandard quality of care FTAGs in the coming weeks in upcoming podcasts. So I'd also like to thank you, Jennifer, and I'm looking forward to our next discussion.
Thank you, Laura, for having me, and I look forward to it as well. And the next time we get together, it'll be for F605, Right to be Free from Chemical Restraint.
Wonderful. That'll be really important. So thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Legal disclaimer. Life Care Services, LLC is not engaged in rendering legal advice. Therefore, any information provided in this podcast, although intended to be correct, is also not intended to replace or supersede the advice of your legal counsel. Also, thank you to Ben Sounds for the music provided in this podcast.